Who are you?
Chick, Chick, Chick.
Who are you?
Lead singer of Chick, Chick, Chick.
Who are you?
I'm from the Czech Republic.
You are David?
Cross. Man.
David Cross, are you really David Cross?
Crossman.
Are you really David Crossman?
Yes, I am. I can prove it.
How can you prove it?
I can't really go into that here. For security purposes, national security purposes. Not Canadian national security, Puerto Rican national security. And that is a consignment piece of property that America owns. United States of America, where I'm from.
Well, I'm glad you said David Crossman, because isn't there a guy, David Cross, who was in the band King Crimson, a violinist?
Yeah, he not only violinist, he played the viola and the piccolo and the theremin.
Multi-talented.
Not really. He wasn't very good at any of them. So he was multi, but the talented part, not so much.
What's interesting about you, David Cross, is...
That is true.
There is King Crimson, but there's also Hee Haw. What is David Cross's connection to Hee Haw?
I have no idea, but I mean, unless you're...
Because you think of a weird connection. You think King Crimson, David Cross, like you loved indie rock, and then you're liking King Crimson, which there are many King Crimson elements in indie rock these days, especially like Mars Volta.
There's two elements.
But then there's also Hee Haw. And I will say your connection to Hee Haw is from one of your managers of past, Brilston.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very good. Man, you do some thorough, in-depth, unnecessary research.
So can you tell me about Hee Haw and the Muppets? Your connection to Hee Haw and the Muppets.
Yeah, well, it's very tenuous. I mean, if you're going to... I know the guy. I've been in the same room with the guy who... I guess, I don't know what he did with Hee Haw, but I know he was a producer of the Muppets. But I don't know what he did with Hee Haw. Did he produce that, or?
Yes, it was his idea.
Oh, really?
And was he your manager, Brill? Was he your manager at one time?
He was not my manager. He was Bob Odenkirk, who was a partner of mine, lover, whatever. And he was his manager. So, invariably, my manager and his manager... And Bob and I would go on picnics, and then we'd discuss things.
Hee Haw plus King Crimson equals?
Brilstein.
Equals David Cross.
Oh, okay, equals David Cross. Yeah, that's a... I spaced that one. That was a no-brainer.
David, how did you get in trouble with a banana and celebrity poker?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I really got in trouble. I had a banana... in celebrity poker, somebody offered, I think, oh, I got a banana, then I started playing well, and then I said it was my good luck banana. Then they brought out a platter of bananas, and then I took my three favorite bananas, and I whipped them at a producer's head, and they were soft. They were obviously, like, you could see the bruise spots on them, and instead of just sort of bouncing off, it splattered, it scratched the guy's cornea. He ended up going to the hospital. This is in Las Vegas, Nevada, and ended up going to the hospital. And I refused to pay the medical bill. Am I boring you?
No, I was just moving over.
Why?
I felt a bit awkward. Like, we're standing here on grass, and I felt like the earth was tilting when you were telling that story.
Well, it was, but not so that you'd notice it, unless you're special.
Well, I'm basically like the human serviette, Nardwuar, human serviette, and I'm like the human mic stand as well.
You know, thank you. I first heard of you back, I think in like 92 or 93 when I moved to Los Angeles from Boston. Were you doing stuff back then?
Yes.
Yeah. I there was a tape of you that I probably still have, VHS tape, shows you how old it is, that a friend of mine who was a writer who I met on the Ben Stiller Show, which is why I moved out to Los Angeles from Boston, gave me.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time of remembering that and speaking to me here today, David...
Crossman?
David Crossman. Back to the celebrity poker, though. What is a celebrity?
Let's go back to the celebrity poker and find out what is a celebrity. A celebrity is somebody who's celebrated for their fabulousness. Sometimes they're appealing, they're attractive, sometimes they exude the persona that they would have sex with you when they wouldn't, but still they exude it and they offer themselves to the public. Then sometimes a celebrity is just somebody who delights us and tickles our fancy. But...
And you won Celebrity Poker, didn't you?
Yes and no. Not really. Ultimately, no. I won my... I've done it twice, 2 years. I've done it... Now, check. Mic check. I've done it twice, and I would win my initial game and then move to the finals where I would then fail.
Who are you up against? Were any celebrities mad that you were classified as a celebrity? Because to me, David Cross, you're a huge celebrity, but to other celebrities, they may not see you as a celebrity.
Well, I think, yeah, I think you've just kind of... exemplified what the problem is. I think if, and this is not by any stretch a knock at you because it incorporates both of us into this, but if you were to go there and go, I'm Nardwar, I think he's a huge celebrity, they'd look at you and then they would make their disdain and upsetness triple fold. You know what I mean? So there were some people definitely who not only didn't consider me a celebrity, didn't know who I was, and I think a number of people who were in the audience, at least.
Did they think you might be a ringer, like this brought in, or like an actual poker official, you know, like a real guy that's really down with professional?
I think once they found out that my background is Judaic, they thought, oh, well, this guy obviously knows numbers and math and money. So that probably made them think I was a ringer in a way, you know, like, who's this kid?
And in the end, what happened with the banana incident?
Oh, you know, it's a small claims court, and I can't really talk about it, but we're due to go there in, I think, third week of July.
David, you're a kind individual. You pose for PETA. PETA.
That's true. You're just making statements and then throwing the mic at me as if it sounds like you're asking a question that I'm supposed to respond to, but you're just making a statement and then...
Well, actually, I was leading on, David Cross. You posed for PETA, but you didn't just pose for PETA any little way, did you pose for PETA?
No. I naked it up.
That's what I was hoping you would say.
Okay, well, I did.
Thank you very much. You were totally naked, and you were wrapped in tape.
No, I wasn't wrapped in tape. What are you talking about?
Well, there was some tape over your private parts.
Oh, you couldn't even see that. What are you talking about? I posed so it was like I looked around. I mean, when I shot the thing, because, you know, I mean, there were a bunch of people there. I didn't want my cock hanging out, so I had a little, whatever you call it, like I got one of those dance belt things and then cut a patch out and double, which is what I do all the time when I do nude scenes, and did double stick it, which hurts eventually when you're taking it off, but it makes for a much more naked looking person.
Which is exactly what I want to ask about, because I understand you took the tape and then put it on eBay, or paid up, put it on eBay. How much did that tape go for?
Man, if that's true, I'm disgusted and delighted at the same time. I can only guess that it would have gone for about... I'm huge in Saudi Arabia, so if a Saudi prince or a sheikh bought it, then it... God, I mean, it could be upwards of $1 million, which is like pennies to them.
What was on that tape? Was there pubic hair on the tape?
Or pubic hair, yeah.
Like, how much was stuck there? Because at first I thought when you're posing for PETA, you'd have all your skin removed, you know, all your hair removed completely.
Yeah, usually, well, I wax up when I'm going to the Jersey Shore. You know, I'll wax up with a bunch of the guys, and we do a bunch of Abercrombie and Fitch catalogs, and I'll shave and wax and get my nipples rouged, but they'll... This was in the wintertime when I did it, so I was a little hairier. So I didn't have, you know, it wasn't just skin. It was a lot of hair. And as far as how much pubic hair was on the tape, I'd say about a kilo.
So you're not 100% sure of what it sold for, or you didn't even know it was on eBay?
No, I didn't.
David Cross, you are, though, on a very important TV show, Arrested
Development.
Yes, Arrested Development. And your wife in the show is Portia.
Yes, Portia de Rossi. Her real name, that's her real name.
And in real life, her wife is?
Now, as of the moment, it's Ellen. I just know her as simply Ellen.
What I was curious about is Portia, someone that you analyze when she eats. Does she only still eat meat standing up?
Yeah, well, she only eats horse meat standing up. The a regular, like, steak or venison or rabbit or Huntersley, she'll eat sitting down. But if she's eating horse meat, which she eats a lot, she'll stand up.
Is this unusual?
For me, it's unusual. It might be, she's Australian, so it might be something they do down under. But for me, it's unusual. I thought it was unusual. But I don't know global customs, you know.
David Cross, do you travel on airplanes very much?
Constantly.
How do you sleep when you're on an airplane?
Usually kind of like this, or depending on which section I'm in, like this.
Do you use any sleeping aids at all, like anything to cover your face? I understood that one time you used an S&M mask to fall asleep with.
Yeah. I use several sleep aids. All the same, I have AIDS, so it helps you weaken. Your T cell count is down to zero, so it makes you very weak. So just stowing your thing above your backpack and just getting on, going through that line is exhausting, which is one of the good things about AIDS. And then you're able to fall asleep very quickly.
How about the S&M mask? Didn't you get in trouble for wearing an S&M mask on an airplane?
I didn't get in trouble, but how did you know that? This was just recently. This was like a month ago, or I was in San Francisco. I'll explain it to those at home. I was in Seattle, doing a show with some friends, and we passed by an adult bookstore, and they had a bunch of different stuff, and I was like, oh, they have S&M masks. So I got not S&M masks, but it was like, you know, the GIMP in Pulp Fiction? You know, has that leather thing, and it was just the whole mask with just a zipper here, and it was completely black. And I thought, and I said, oh, I'll get this, and then I'm going to put it on while I'm on the plane. And if anybody gives me any shit, I'll just say, what? I thought it was a sleep mask. And then, so I did that, but everybody started cracking up because I did it when nobody could see it, and then just let them see it. And then by then, the joke was over. So. I didn't get in trouble. I'd hoped to kind of get a talking to, but it didn't happen. But how'd you find that out?
It wasn't on your DVD.
You're right, it wasn't on my DVD.
It wasn't on your DVD, but another sleeping incident was on your DVD, David Cross.
Well, are you going to answer my question? How'd you find out about that? I'm just curious, just because it was so innocuous and barely anybody knew about it. I mean, obviously the my friends on the plane, but outside of that, I maybe told a handful of people.
David Cross, there is an international fan network following you everywhere, taping your every move. And what I think...
You're saying that there was somebody on the plane that saw it and then wrote about it?
Well, once you star in, like, Arrested Development, once you've done Mr. Show, once you've, like, seen Pansy Division play, you're a marked man.
All right, okay, I'll give you that.
David Cross, you're here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, doing some...
That is an absolute lie.
Well, we know you're in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, because... Well, how do we not know that you're in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada?
Check it out. I didn't bring this from the States. That'd be stupid.
You are David...
Crossman.
David Crossman, on your most recent DVD, you visited Vancouver.
I did. I played Richards on Richards.
A.K.A.
Dicks on Dicks.
And you have a little Dick story about that on the DVD where you went home with a Vancouver lady.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you talk about apologizing for sleeping with a Vancouver girl on the DVD.
What?
Yes, there's a girl that's all over you on the DVD, and there's some allusion to her afterwards on the DVD. You're talking about that. So I was just wondering, are you like Bon Jovi, who named their album Slippery When Wet after the strippers in Vancouver? Are you down with the Vancouver ladies, David Cross?
Wait a second. We've been having a lot of fun here, a lot of jokes, but I did not sleep with anybody from Vancouver. You've got to be mistaken, or maybe you're piecing two things together that weren't maybe chronologically they follow each other, but they're not. I swear to God, I didn't.
Okay, well, extrapolate perhaps what I might be alluding to if I'm not alluding to that exactly. There must be some half-truth to there because you haven't completely shot this down, David Cross.
You must be talking about when I was in the van and I was talking about a girl. That was a girl in Austin, Texas, and that was from like 1999 or 2000 or something, that story. If I'm remembering correctly, I don't remember. I'm telling you, I didn't...
Okay, that might have been it, because I do remember it was in the van. I'm sorry, I might have misconstrued it.
That has nothing to do with Vancouver.
But you were telling the story in Vancouver.
That could be true.
Yeah, so there is a Canadian connection there.
Right, there's a Canadian. You did it. You found it. You're like a scientist.
David Cross, you're here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You've traveled lots on airplanes wearing S&M masks. You also played punk...
A Billy.
Punk voter. And one of the gentlemen that opened up for you was Jello Biafra of the Dead Kennedys. What was it like having Jello Biafra of the Dead Kennedys open up and do spoken word for you, David Cross?
Well, it wasn't so much that he was opening up for me, but we were all part of the same bill, and he happened to go before me and introduce me. But I was a huge fan of him when I was a kid, and I actually went and saw him in like 1984 or 85 or something. I saw him do spoken word at Brandeis University. And it was really funny, but it was the first time I got an inkling of how kind of long-winded and kind of a blowhard he might be. And when he did that show, and again, I am a big fan, and he was very important. He was an important figure in my life, but he would not shut up. I mean, it was getting bad. Like, they actually had to go out and kind of tug him a couple times, and he would like look and go, "Yeah, hang on," and he just kept on going. He was out there for like, and he's not funny. He's very kind of dogmatic and strident, and there's no real levity or connection. So it was a bit of a bummer, but...
How did the audience take to him? How did David Cross's audience take to Jello Biafra? Because he might have been going on and on, but how was the audience enjoying it?
Again, it wasn't just my audience. There were...
the punk voter.
Yeah, there was another number of bands on the bill. I think there are five bands, and Jello was kind of hosting. I think they were ready for him to get off. They were clearly... he deserves respect and got accorded respect until it was like... Okay, we get it. Thanks. Let's go. Let's move on. There's a lot more show.
So he just needed to trim the act a tiny bit? Like, did you see places where he could have trimmed it, or was there no way to end the story? If you're telling a story about 9/11, it's pretty hard to cut it half the way through, right?
It's called editing. You edit within, and you find out what is necessary, what's extraneous, get rid of the extraneous part. I teach a workshop at the Learning Annex. It's a 10-week course, and weeks 3 through 7, except for week 6, it's 3, 4, 5, and then take 1 week off and we do other stuff, and then back to editing.
David Cross, I interviewed Elijah Wood a few years ago about punkers in Hollywood.
Not so sure about that.
I asked him, "Elijah, are there any punkers in Hollywood?" And he said, "Have you ever heard of David
Crisman?"
David Crossman. And I said, "Yes, I have, for Mr. Show." He said, "You should interview David Cross. Elijah Wood told me I should interview David Cross. Have you met Elijah Wood? And are you and Elijah Wood the only punkers in Hollywood?"
We have our own club. We actually have a treehouse up in the hills. And it's just me and him. And we are the only, the name of our club, our secret society is punkersinhollywood.com/. And, I actually met Elijah here in Vancouver. I was here working on a movie that was never released. It was released in Sweden for some reason. And we became friends. And that was, to date, the best experience I've ever had working on any movie or show. It was really fun. I was up here for about 3.5 months. And
that was Tri 17? Was that the movie? That's the movie he was shooting up here.
No. We were all shooting the same movie. It was called... when we were shooting it, it was called Shiny New Enemies. Then the name got changed to Chain of Fools, because the producer owned the rights to the song Chain of Fools. So he renamed it and then didn't release the movie. It was fun. It was great. It was me and Elijah and Steve Zahn and Jeff Goldblum and Lara Flynn Boyle and a bunch of people, Salma Hayek and just... It was great. Tom Wilkinson.
I just thought it was great, though. Elijah Wood, David Cross, punkers in Hollywood. And then I was reading a few other mags, and I found out there's some other punkers in Hollywood, like Fred Armisen, who's on Saturday Night Live. I never realized he was the drummer for Trench Mouth.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. But he's not part of our club. It's just Elijah and I. If you want to get in the treehouse, you have to do certain things. We have to haze you. And there's a hell week you have to go through. And nobody's willing to do it.
There's nobody else. Come on. Fred Armisen should be allowed in there. You've done comedy with him. Can't he be in the Punker treehouse?
Nope.
David Cross, you have thrown out many allusions to punk rock and roll over your career.
I'm not so sure about that.
On Mr. Show, you had a character called Dr. Shattuck. And what's not a reference to Kim Shattuck of the band The Muffs?
Very good. Yeah, that was. In fact, everybody in that sketch, there was Laura Balance, Dr. Balance, who's Laura Balance, the bassist from Superchunk. And there was Kim Shattuck from The Muffs. And there was one more. There was another one. I can't remember who it was. There's another female musician type.
And you also had another skit called Smoosh, I think, all about Radiohead.
No, it wasn't Radiohead. That was Oasis. Sorry.
But it was something about Oasis doing...
In your face!
I tried!
No, it was based on Oasis.
An Oasis interview, right?
Yeah, or amalgamation of all of them. Yeah.
Because somebody had seen a David Cross Nordor interview, I mean an Oasis interview, and then you got inspired by that.
Yeah, it was Bob's idea. Bob Odenkirk has a secret, like, schoolgirl crush on Oasis. He is absolutely enamored with them. And I mean, they're a good band, but he's read all the kind of pulp bios and all that stuff. And I'm not making this up, he loves Oasis and loves their antics. He's just tickled by him, and he's the one who came up with the idea for that sketch. It was really pretty much Oasis.
David Cross, another connection, Wicked Scepter. Was that inspired by Gay Rockers' Pansy Division?
No, it wasn't. That was my friend Mark Rivers and I, who wrote the theme to Mr. Show and appears in the season 4 as Information Jimmy. He and I were driving cross-country in the States, going from Boston to L.A., and it was right after the Pamela Tommy Lee tape had come out, and then we were just riffing in the car, and then I'm pretty sure it was his idea, I'm almost positive, and we were just riffing on it, and then he was talking about it being a tape of, like, what if it was him and the other guys in the band, but they didn't understand why people thought they were gay, and they were just having a good time and partying. So that's sort of, we took that idea and made it a whole thing.
David Cross, you also did the Underground Tape Railroad. Was that inspired by Metallica drummer, the legendary videotape?
No, I mean, it was inspired by all those tapes that were floating around, that have been floating around since like the 80s, which I had. I had that Bud Dwyer tape in, like, whatever it was, 84, 85, I guess.
What was that? I'm not familiar with the Bud Dwyer tape.
That was to the best of my knowledge, that was one of the first tapes that floated around on the underground, so to speak, underground, whatever that is, you know what I mean. But that was, he was a, I believe, a state treasurer of Pennsylvania, and he had held a press conference, and during that press conference, and he had planned this, obviously, pulled out a huge gun and shot his brains out. And I got a copy of that tape, and then that was the first one that I remember being, that sort of started the slow, what was a slow trickle at first, and then just tons of those tapes floating around, as, you know, these kind of cameras became more ubiquitous, and, these microphones kind of faded away into the dustbin of history, and so, I mean, obviously there was the Underground Railroad, which the slaves would go through the Underground Railroad.
Up to Canada.
Up to Canada, and where they would live a free life. And so we just took the idea of underground tapes and called that the Underground Tape Railroad or something.
David Cross, you're from Atlanta, Georgia. There's a wrestler based in Atlanta, Georgia now, Abdullah the Butcher. Do you know Abdullah the Butcher at all?
Yeah, he's got a barbecue place right by the airport. I'm not kidding. You're laughing. That is a real thing. You think I'm joking? Yeah, you better not. He actually does have a barbecue place.
All beef barbecue place, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of... Well, there's probably mostly pork, not beef. Some chicken. But in the South, it tends to be mostly pork. Unless you're in Kentucky, in which it's mutton or lamb. And then in Texas, that's where the beef is.
And Jake the Snake Roberts, another wrestler, he's from Atlanta too, isn't he?
Could be.
He's from Stone Mountain, Georgia. What's the deal on Stone Mountain, Georgia?
Have you been there?
It's like the Confederate Mount Rushmore, right?
Yeah, that's what they call it. It's this this huge, I believe the largest on the planet, the largest rock. It's the outcropping of a rock that's supposedly just massive and like tip of the iceberg, but it's this huge, huge thing, you know, probably the size of like two Stanley Parks or something, but it's massive, even bigger than that. It's just huge granite thing that somebody went, some fucking asshole went and carved a thing of Robert E. Lee and some Confederate soldiers, and then a lot of the Klan was based there up till about 20 years ago. There was heavy Klan, obviously much more in the 50s and prior to that, but now it's like a whole suburban town, and they have a laser light show that makes it look like they're galloping, and somebody carved it in there. It's kind of cool, but it's also silly, you know.
I heard like those laser Zeppelin. You could go back at night and watch a Zeppelin.
Yeah, you can. It's true. And then it looks like they animate the horses as they ride to nothing, because nothing ever appears unless they start carving a battle scene. It's just the horses sort of moving to, I guess, defeat. Yeah.
David Cross, you're here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, supposedly. However, you're not at the location of one of your favorite movies ever, Cotton Candy. What can you tell the people about Cotton Candy?
That was a movie about a group of earnest kids who want to enter a rock and roll competition at the mall. It incorporates, to the best of my knowledge, it's one of the first films that incorporates all the elements of pop culture that were kind of new then, but now are just completely ubiquitous and in our own consciousness so much that we don't even think about them. But rock and roll, tube tops, roller skates, garage bands, and malls, and Clint Howard. It's actually
directed by Ron Howard too, right?
Was it? Oh, I don't know. Is that true?
I think it was the first thing Ron Howard ever directed.
No kidding. Oh, thank God for the computer.
How else would Clint Howard get in it?
That's true. Internet. Well, he was in Gentle Ben, though. Remember?
He was also in a couple episodes of Star Trek.
Well, that was... Oh, yeah, he was the kid in Star Trek. Yeah, that's right. That was a big deal.
David Cross, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada here, you were starring in some movie about Shakespeare. What is this movie about? Shakespeare?
It's pronounced Shakespeare, and he's an Italian poet, and he wrote one of his more popular plays was about soccer, kids playing soccer, and that's what this movie's based on. It's the play where kids play soccer, or football.
And what do you recite?
What do I recite?
What passage?
Well, all my stuff's biblical, as per my contract.
David Cross, recently the New Yorker named you amongst one of the 50th loathsome...
Not the New Yorker, the New York Press. Quite a difference.
The New York Press. What did they call you? One of the 50 most loathsome New Yorkers.
Yes, one of the 50 most loathsome New Yorkers. That was... unfortunately, I slipped off the list for last year, but that was the year before the last issue that came out. They didn't like my stand-up.
I found it interesting. At number 29 was Paris Hilton, and number 19 was you.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Paris Hilton's really a New Yorker, but so be it.
Now that you're doing all this Arrested Development and stuff, and there's probably even more chance you'll run into Paris Hilton, and you talk about Paris Hilton, have you run into her since you've said stuff about her on your CD?
Yes, I have. I don't think she knows who I am. Actually, I've seen her twice. Once at 2 years ago at a Grammys party where I would bet my last dollar that she was tripping on E, because she was just so... It wasn't drunk, you know, when people are on E and she was dancing with some people. It wasn't like a big, huge club or anything. It was like upstairs at a hotel or something. and she was dancing around. I was standing there with two friends, and we were talking, and she sort of left the person she was standing with, who, like, over here, started dancing with, and, oh, you have to stay there. You have to stay there.
We need some volume for you, though.
All right, imagine lip sync, and then she's dancing, and then she comes over, and just sort of dances. She goes, God, this is a great party, right? She didn't know any of us, and we were like, yeah. She goes, God, I love this song, and then sort of went back. And that was weird. And then I saw her at this, what was it?
Has she said anything to you, though? Does she have any idea that you talked about her? What did you say about Paris Hilton on your most recent CD?
Well, I said a bunch of stuff, but I think the...
Punchline.
Well, I referred to her as, her and Nicole Richie as two rich giggling cunts who are have no respect for anybody but themselves, which I think is true.
Does she have any idea that this was actually said and is on a CD? And have you thought about apologizing to her when you see her, even though she doesn't even know it's on the CD?
No, I would never apologize. Although, actually, that's a good way to say it. That's a good way to bring it up if she doesn't know about it. Just say, hey, listen, I'm really sorry. I was drunk when I recorded
this. That's what I think Marilyn Manson did to Corey Feldman. He, like, slagged Corey Feldman. And then he phoned up Corey Feldman after the book was out and said, hey, Corey, I said a few bad things about you.
Well, that's decent of him. I don't know that he deserves it, but that's still a decent thing to do, I think. It's not what that I loathe Paris Hilton as a person. I just loathe what she represents and the fact that our society allows her to get away with that kind of behavior and celebrates it and rewards it.
David Cross, you love Canada. You also mentioned on your CD Nova Scotia. Shout out to Nova Scotia, Bubba Sparks' favorite place.
Yeah, love the Scotia. Love the Scotia.
Have you been there? Any connections?
No, I just had a ViewMaster when I was a kid, and I was always wanted to get up there. But when I'm done with this part of the filming, I go back to New York soon. I'll have to come back here again and shoot some other scenes, but... in the interim, my girlfriend and I are going to Montreal and Ontario for about 8 days with another couple that are friends of ours that, and he's from Ontario, and we're going to go to Montreal and hang out. I love Canada.
For a minute, I thought you were going to say you were going to travel with another couple, meaning Carl from the New Pornographers. You were pictured with Carl from the New Pornographers in the local Vancouver Terminal City Mag at the Built to Spill gig.
Great. I made it.
The New Pornographers, though, you've had them play a gig, Tinkle.
Yeah, in Seattle. That's what I was doing in Seattle when I bought the GIMP mask. And the New Pornographers played. We had two bands. We had two different nights, had different bands. We had the Thermals on the first night and then New Pornographers the second night. And they're a great band. And Carl's a great guy. And there you have it.
That's how I know you, David Cross, through rock and roll. And I wanted you to tell the people about Chunklet, because this is really how I came to hook up with you, through Henry of Chunklet.
Yeah.
This is the best magazine ever. How did you hook up with Henry from Chunklet Fanzine?
You know, I don't remember the first time I met Henry. We have a lot of mutual friends. But let's see. I don't remember the exact first time, but I have been enjoying Chunklet since its early days, and it really is a great magazine, very thorough, very obsessive compulsive,
and very David Cross supportive, eh? With the big ad on the back.
Well, we paid for it. It's not like he gave that to us for free, but yeah.
But he doesn't give ads just to anybody, right? This is Chunklet.
That is true. That is true. But it's just so thorough and funny and dense. It's really dense. And he gets away with quite a bit when you think about it.
How did he win your confidence, David Cross? How does somebody win David Cross's confidence? How did you hook up with him? Did he see you in the early days of your stand-up career? Or did he see you playing any bands or anything?
I don't know. I mean, maybe... again, we have mutual friends, but maybe he knows me through Mr. Show.
So it wasn't pre Mr. Show then.
It might be, but I doubt it. But I'm not sure. I don't remember.
David Cross, you're going to be doing a movie, or you are doing a movie called Curious George.
That's all done. Yeah, that was a voiceover. which is fun to do. I actually enjoy that.
Are you afraid of the Barrymore drinks?
The Barrymore drinks? What's that?
AKA the Barrymore drinks?
I don't know.
AKA the Barrymore jinx?
Oh, that was fun. Why? What is the Barrymore jinx?
Well, you did the Curious George animated cartoon or whatever. Drew Barrymore is in that. What happens with Drew Barrymore? She dates Tom Green.
And he has cancer, testicular cancer.
Then she dates the guy from The Strokes, and their album will...
Get testicular cancer.
Yeah, like, are you worried about the Drew Barrymore jinx?
If you're asking me if I'm worried I'm going to get testicular cancer, I guess I should now, I suppose.
David Cross, who sells more CDs, you or Margaret Cho?
I don't know. I would assume Margaret, but I know that together we sell more than the Beatles combined.
David Cross, although I didn't join the Internet Movie Database, I saw a message board for you, and one of the postings on there was possibly the worst thing that any comedian can have said to them. And you know what that is?
Yeah, I'm not funny.
No. Carrot Top is better.
Well, then I would be so polar opposite that thought that it's not such a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, if that person thinks Carrot Top's better, of course they're being sarcastic, probably. But they probably, it's their adorable way of saying they don't think I'm very funny, which is fine.
But if they think that Carrot Top is better, that means that Carrot Top is at least good. So that means you're not as good as Carrot Top, but maybe you are good, right? So it's better than saying you're not funny.
That's kind of a desperate logic, but I'll cling to it.
David Cross, you're from Atlanta. Winding up here, I wanted to ask you about the crunk sound. Little John.
That's true.
Any connections to any of the crunk sound or crisscross, you know, being from Atlanta?
Yeah, no, I used to babysit the one on the left. As far as Lil Jon, big fan. You know, he's blind, for real. He's blind. Those glasses have a practical application, those sunglasses.
How about Jermaine Dupri? Any run-ins with Jermaine Dupri? He's running wild these days, David Cross.
Yeah, he's producing my next album, and it's I think it's going to drop in probably October, and he's doing some really crazy stuff with it, I got some cameos from Timbaland and Missy Elliott.
David Cross, what about Atlanta as a rich, fertile ground for comedians? Ryan Seacrest is from there. Did you ever bump shoulders with him at all, David Cross?
No, I didn't know that Ryan Seacrest is from Atlanta. But that's good to know. He's a massive talent. He just got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Is it wrong of me to link you to Atlanta?
No, I mean, that's where I was born, and that's where I lived for an important part of my life, from the age of, say, 10 to 19.
Have you ever been to Freak Nick in Atlanta?
No, I want to go. I kind of want to go and see what that's all about.
Could you explain a bit about Freak Nick in Atlanta, David Cross?
Freak Nick is where the black college students, mostly up and down the Eastern Seaboard, predominantly in the South, now it's getting bigger and bigger. That's their spring break, and they've done it in Virginia Beach, right? I believe. But it's predominantly in Atlanta, which has a large black population. But it's funny because the white store owners really freak out, which is a good reason to call it Freak Nick. Another application of the word freak. They get all scared and they actually shut down their businesses and board it up as if it's a hurricane, as if this wave of black young humanity is as destructive as a hurricane or tsunami. Because then there's like fucking in the streets.
David Cross, have you ever gone to Andy Dick's Bible study course?
No, but I'm going to have to wrap it up. I'm just letting you know.
Winding up here just quickly, David Cross, you are a dancer of comedy, aren't you? I would say you're a dancer of comedy.
Yeah, dangerous dancer, yeah.
What do you think about comedy now versus then? Back then in the olden days, people would gather around a comedy record at a party and laugh. It would build the party. It would be all part of the party. What do you think about comedy now versus then? Do you know what I mean?
Are you talking about the 20s?
I'm talking about the 1960s, like the party records, like Rudy Ray Moore, Dolemite, Blowfly. You know, you put the record on at the party, you're all laughing at the jokes. Like, the whole party is built around that record.
It was probably a little later than the 60s, but, yeah, I guess people were more easily entertained back then. You know, now we have video games in which you can enact the life of a comedian, and so and there's a 3D effect to it, so you don't have to sit around listening to this old Victrola version of jokes. Now you can actually play a video game version of it.
One of my favorite comedians is Neil Hamburger. You've worked with Neil Hamburger, haven't you?
I've done some open mics or, you know, showcase nights that he's done, yeah.
One of my greatest moments watching him was seeing him on the Jimmy Kimmel Show with Yoko Ono. It was like Yoko Ono and Neil Hamburger. Have you ever had any moments like that, David Cross? Like David Cross and Yoko Ono or similar typed people?
Yeah, I was actually just rummaging through some old notes. And last year at the Golden Globes Awards, I peed in between Kiefer Sutherland and Quentin Tarantino. And I thought, that's something.
Between a Canadian and an American.
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
And lastly here, we've talked about connections to King Crimson, to Hee Haw. You have a connection, too, amazingly, to SpongeBob.
Yep, voiced by Tom Kenny of Mr. Show, famous.
Has Tom ever prank called you? I know I've prank called you many times. Thank you again for agreeing to this interview.
Tom has not. I wish he would. We've really lost that part of our relationship, I think, since he became so famous. To kids, to children.
He did do quite a lot of prank calling, didn't he?
If you're setting me up for something, I don't know what you're referring to.
David Cross, 4:20 p.m. What's good about 4:20 p.m., David Cross?
Oh, that's when idiots like to get high.
Why is that? How have you determined that?
Have I determined that that's why they like to get high?
Oh, and that it's 4:20.
Well, there's a number of theories about the 4:20 thing. I don't know what they are. I don't subscribe to them. I think one of them is about, like, it's the best time because, like, somebody timed it out or something, and then you'd be sitting in traffic and you're, I don't know what it is. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't, but 4:20, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your time, David Cross. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
I appreciate your fine country. I hope to buy some land and put a Walmart or something similar on it.
David Cross, why should people care about David Cross?
They shouldn't.
And lastly, David Cross, is it true you once got poison ivy on your cock?
Wow. How did... All right, when the camera's off, I'll find out this stuff. Yeah, well, not so much my cock, but all over my back and my feet. I laid down in it. It was a hot Georgia night, and my friend was scooping on this girl, and I had to walk around, you know, this is like back in high school, and kill some time because I didn't want to interrupt them. So I was just, you know, wandering around, and then I was had shorts on, my shirt was off, and then I laid down and kind of fell asleep in some poison ivy. It was all over me.
Well, thanks so much, David Cross. Keep on rocking in the free world, and do 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 do.